Welcome to Library Voices SC. This is Curtis Rogers, Communications Director at the South Carolina State Library. And today we have with us TJ Wallace, and she is with South Carolina Humanities. And that's formerly known as Humanities Council, South Carolina Humanities Council, lots of different names.
Yes. Officially now we're South Carolina Humanities. That's our new branded name.
And what's your job there? You're assistant director, grants coordinator, everything, other duties as assigned?
That's correct. I'm assistant director, but my primary duty is to coordinate our grants and our other programs.
And South Carolina Humanities has done an amazing job in South Carolina. You've got a long history. How long has the council or the humanities been active?
Yeah, we're really excited. And 2018 will be our 45th anniversary.
Wow,
so we're closing in
years.
On 45 years of service to South Carolina, doing public humanities programs all over the state.
And you have a very large staff. You have three people.
That's correct.
And that's Gail and Randy, and Randy Akers is the director. And what does Gail do?
Gail's our administrative assistant and office mom, is what I call her. She brings us snacks and keeps us upbeat. And
she also does a lot with social media, too, doesn't she?
She does handle a lot of our social media. She's great with Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, I see Literary South Carolina gets a lot of hits and all that great stuff.
Yeah, she really finds some fun articles and cute memes. And, of course, we help promote all the literary events going on around the state, too, through our Literary South Carolina page.
Definitely. One of the things I wanted to talk about with you today, and, of course, we kind of have a bent on libraries since we're Library Voices SC, but I know that there is a program in South Carolina, and this may be in other states, I'm not that sure, but it's LTAI, Let's Talk About It. Can you tell us a little bit what that entails?
Definitely. The Let's Talk About It reading and discussion program is, in fact, in other states around the country. I know North Carolina still does it. Several of the state humanities councils still support the Let's Talk About It program, sometimes in partnership with their state center for the book or their state library, like we are privileged to be able to partner with the South Carolina State Library on this program. Let's Talk About It is one of our oldest programs at South Carolina Humanities. It started in the early 80s. Originally, it was developed by the American Library Association. And they are sets of themed books that we make available to primarily public libraries. Those are the groups that seem to want to use the program the most. But we've also partnered with some other kinds of organizations, like even retirement communities, and recently with the new Pat Conroy Literary Center. And we send out the sets of books, and we also provide an honoraria, or a small grant to go towards honoraria. Because what makes the Let's Talk About It program really unique is that the host organization brings in scholars to talk to the group about the book, so each book in the series. So it's kind of like a book club, but it's kind of amped up with the additional content of having, you know, a scholar there to really get you thinking deeply about the themes and the topic at hand. So it's been a really rewarding program for a lot of libraries in the state of South Carolina. We have some who have used it for years and years.
And some of the speakers or presenters that you have, are they part of the Humanities Speakers Bureau? Is that something different? Or
the Speakers Bureau is a different program. Occasionally, there's a little bit of overlap, but usually the local host sites for a Let's Talk About It program just kind of find their own scholars, whether it's from somebody from a local college or high school, or just somebody that they are familiar with in the community who can come and provide that background and that insight to the book.
And I know some of the series also even have movies or videos, DVDs that go along with them. Is that so? When people sign up at their library or whatever organization is hosting, what's the time frame for, you know, reading all the books in the series or watching the videos, or is the video done as a group? How does all that work?
We give the libraries a lot of leeway in how they want to organize the program and how they think it would work best for their constituents. But most of our Let's Talk About It series are five books, like you said, there are a few that have that are multimedia series that have DVDs as well. I've seen most libraries usually organize it on a kind of 10 to 12 week schedule with 2 weeks between each session. So the participants have about 2 weeks to read the book, and then they come together and discuss it, and then they borrow the next book and they read that, and then they come together 2 weeks later to discuss it. When the libraries are using a film series, often they will show the film to everybody as a group and then discuss it. So it can take a lot of different formats, and you can spread it out as long as you want. I've had libraries read a book every month and kind of spread it out of over 5 or 6 months, or if they're really short books or if they're doing a poetry series, you can make it even more compact.
And when does the speaker fit in? Is that like generally an ending event, or do you have the person who is the speaker come in multiple times?
Usually there's a speaker for each book, and usually it's a separate speaker, so that they kind of specialize in whatever the topic of the book may be. And for each session that may last about 90 minutes, the speaker would maybe speak for about 30 minutes and then kind of lead the group in a discussion and interaction, and then close with some final thoughts.
Okay. And what kind of stats have you seen with this Let's Talk About It series? Are there lots of libraries that participate, or maybe just a few of them that participate? And how can we maybe, you know, get the word out so that more groups can participate?
We have a few libraries that are very, very loyal users. Like I mentioned, the Aiken County Library is one, the Oconee County Library is one, the Surfside Beach Branch Library of the Horry County System is one, the Charleston County Public Library is one. But we would love to see more libraries using it. I know some libraries kind of have their own book clubs arranged, so they may not be as interested in having the Let's Talk About It program, but it really does kind of bring something unique and different to the table for your participants when you get to have that scholar. It's almost like going back to college for a day, but with much less pressure and just kind of enjoying...
No final exam.
No final exam, just kind of enjoying some real insight and interaction with a scholar and with your peers. So to promote it more, I would love to be able to do that. I'd love to talk to any library that was interested in hearing more about it. They can always find out more on our website at schumanities.org.
And we'll definitely provide a link to that on our podcast page. But yeah, because I've looked through the list, because we house the books, the collection here at the State Library. And some of them, I mean, some of the series are amazing, the focus that they have on different topics.
Yeah, some of the themes are really unique and interesting. And every time I come and look at the series where they're housed upstairs, I usually end up borrowing a book or two, mm-hmm. just because some of the books are so interesting. But we have such a wide variety, everything from women's autobiography to banned books, a series that's made up of books that have been frequently banned in different places over the years.
That's always a popular topic.
Yeah, we have one of our most recent series is called Tragic Affairs Abroad. So it's novels mostly that take place in foreign countries. Similarly, we have one called No Suitcase Needed that takes all the books take place in foreign countries and kind of give you a real in-depth feel of that location. We have one on Jewish literature. We have one on one called Muslim Journeys that focuses on some really unique stories from various countries that practice Islam. So,
Is there one on jazz? I seem to remember something about that.
We actually have two that have jazz in the title. One is specifically more geared towards Charleston and jazz there, and then one that's just generally about the jazz era.
Yeah, it's amazing all the different kinds of things that you can talk about when you have, and it's not necessarily a book club, but it's a series. So people who, want to participate at their local library or whatever organization is hosting, really the way it can be marketed or promoted is through whatever that topic is. And a lot of them tend to be very time sensitive and very timely, because a lot of these topics keep popping up, you know, in the news, like race relations or anything that you could fit into one of these topics, because you know, like you said, when you have the expert come in and talk, they're going to talk about a lot of things that are probably relating to whatever that subject area is at the time.
Yeah, one of our most recent series that we've added is actually an all film series, and it's called Created Equal: America's Civil Rights Struggle. So that one would be very timely, like you said. And we have several others that deal with race and several that deal with the Civil War. We have one series that's all about different wars in the American in American history. And I know we're coming up on the anniversary, the, 150th anniversary of, no.
That would that be
the 100th anniversary
150,
of World War One.
That's right, 150 would be the sesquicentennial,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
We just celebrated the sesquicentennial of the Civil War, so we actually have a series that was based on that. But yeah, we have
Centennial.
We have the centennial of World War One coming up, and we do have some series about American war that might be of interest to libraries around the state if they're planning programming about that.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I think folks working at libraries and other literary-based organizations, you know, really need to keep a program like this in mind, because you do have to plan ahead. You know, it's something, like you said, 10 to 12 week time frame, or however long of a time frame an organization or library needs to put something like this on, but you do need to plan ahead. How much time in advance do you need to get an application, because there is an application process?
There is an application. It's very straightforward. It's only 2 pages, and preferably we like to receive those applications 6 weeks before the first date of a discussion, whichever book they want to discuss first. So 6 weeks before that date, that gives us time to process the application and make sure the books get sent from the state library here where they're housed out to the library or other organization that's using them.
Definitely. So plan ahead. That's the key for Let's Talk About It series. The South Carolina Humanities has a lot of other programs that it's responsible for. And one of the other literary-based items is the South Carolina Encyclopedia. Can you tell us a little bit about that and the influence South Carolina Humanities had on that?
Sure. The South Carolina Encyclopedia was one of the largest projects that South Carolina Humanities has ever undertaken. It was a 10-year effort to get the South Carolina Encyclopedia published, and that came to fruition actually in 2006, and it sold more than 20,000 copies at this point. It was published by University of South Carolina Press and in partnership with the Institute of Southern Studies at the University of South Carolina. And what's really exciting was that just about 10 months ago, it's been put online by the University of South Carolina. So it's now available free. You can search all the records that are there, and it's at scencyclopedia.org.
Wonderful. And that's and there was one gentleman, I think people may have heard his name before, who was a big influence, and that's Dr. Walter Edgar.
Yes. Dr. Walter Edgar was the editor of the South Carolina Encyclopedia, and it's definitely an important project that he helped bring forward to the state. Randy, our executive director, goes and visits Washington every year for Humanities on the Hill and visits all the different congressional offices, and every single congressional office has a copy of the South Carolina Encyclopedia. And
that's
the
just staff, smart politics.
The staff there say they use it a lot because it, you know, it's got over 1,000 entries. It has entries on every county, every city.
Well, you know, I mean, those political office staffers, they have to do a lot of research, and you know, something like that really comes in handy when you need to answer a constituent's question. So there you've got an authoritative tome, and it also has, lots of different editions. There's like a South Carolina Writers Encyclopedia.
Yes, over the years between 2006, when the original encyclopedia was published, and 2016, when it went online, there were several additional volumes published that are both available in hardcover and on ebook. And there was one on writers, there was one on governors, I think there's one on counties. Mm-hmm. So I think there's actually 6 in total of these additional little.
And these are very authoritative researched works. They're not just, you know, Wikipedia entries.
That's right. It was extremely well vetted by Dr. Edgar and many other scholars from South Carolina.
The Humanities Festival is coming up. That's October 5th through 8th, 2017. And that's going to be in, isn't that the peach capital of South Carolina, Gaffney?
Gaffney. Well, the Peachoid is there. Yes, I think they are one of the many places that claims peaches. And we're really excited to be in Gaffney in October for the South Carolina Humanities Festival. The South Carolina Humanities Festival began in the early 90s, and we've visited almost 20 different communities around the state. And it's really just an opportunity to celebrate that community's history and heritage and culture, both for people who are from the community and may not know as much as they would like to know about it, and for people coming from outside to learn more. So the Gaffney Festival is shaping up to be a really fun one. They're going to focus on the Revolutionary War, actually, because in Cherokee County, there are three different state parks that have Revolutionary War connections. And there's going to be a parade, there's going to be some reenactments, there's going to be some of your more traditional lectures and exhibits available, some receptions, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I would definitely encourage, if anybody's not been to Gaffney, it's a beautiful town. They've got a vibrant cultural revival going on, so they have a beautiful downtown cultural center.
Has the downtown gone through a downtown redevelopment or?
I'm not certain about that, but they are certainly doing a lot to promote their local history and heritage. So there's a lot of partnering organizations coming together for the Humanities Festival, from the local library to the Historical Society, and then it's actually the city of Gaffney that is the primary sponsor.
Okay, great. Some of the other things that I know that you have going on with South Carolina Humanities, and one is an annual award program, and that's the Governor's Awards. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, the annual Governor's Awards in the Humanities are awarded to people or organizations that have had a major impact on public humanities programs or research or just general knowledge here in the state of South Carolina. So we're excited to celebrate the 2017 Governor's Awards in the Humanities. We actually have four honorees for 2017. We have the Auntie Karen Foundation, which has done a lot for arts and culture here in the Columbia area. We have Dr. Orville Vernon Burton from Clemson University, who's a premier scholar and historian of Lincoln, among many other topics. We have Dixie Goswami, who's also from Clemson University and very involved in promoting literary arts and literacy. And we have Betty Jo Ray, the former mayor of Rock Hill, who did a lot for the Rock Hill area in promoting history and arts and culture there.
It's a good Southern name, Betty Jo.
Yes, and she's a lovely lady, and we're excited to honor all of them.
Yeah, it's certainly a wonderful program. I went to last year's Governor's Awards ceremony, and, you know, to hear everyone talk about all the work they've done and, you know, contributing to the arts and humanities in South Carolina is very important. And one of the things that people need to keep in mind is local and national support, because isn't the NEH the main funder of all of the state's humanities groups?
South Carolina Humanities is primarily federally funded through the National Endowment for the Humanities, and every state Humanities Council does receive funding from the National Endowment for the Humanities. So certainly we are grateful for the National Endowment for the Humanities and support its work throughout the country.
Definitely. Another program that I wanted to just mention briefly, and this is a program that you all have been working on promoting statewide, is a Smithsonian traveling exhibit called The Way We Worked. And I think there's a library involved with that. I'm not sure, but can you talk a little bit about it?
Sure. We really love this program, this partnership that we're lucky enough to have with the Smithsonian. It's through a branch of the Smithsonian called Museum on Main Street. And they create exhibits that are specifically designed to go to small towns and rural communities. The exhibits are low security. They're designed in a way that makes them very adaptable for use in smaller spaces. But they're very beautiful exhibits that are very interactive. They have audio components and video components and artifacts and all sorts of different things going on in these exhibits. And we have toured several of these traveling exhibits. And the one that's currently on tour around South Carolina is, as you said, called The Way We Worked, about the history of work in America. It's currently in McClellanville, South Carolina, through the end of September, and then it will travel to Hartsville, where it will be at the Black Creek Arts Council. And then it will be going back to the Smithsonian in late November after it finishes up in Hartsville. So there are six communities that have hosted, will host the exhibit while it's on tour around the state. So we're at the tail end of this tour, but there's still two communities where people could travel and see this really interesting exhibit. And we're excited because we are in the process now of accepting applications for the next traveling Smithsonian exhibit that we will be bringing to the state.
Oh, what's that about?
It's called Crossroads, Change in Rural America. And it will be on tour in South Carolina from September of 2018 through June of 2019. But the exhibit, the deadline for applications is September 1st.
Oh, that's right around the corner.
Yeah, we want to have a year of lead time to let the organizations that are selected really plan and prepare for hosting the exhibit. So decisions will hopefully be made by the beginning of October. But yeah, it's a great opportunity for libraries, for local historical societies, for museums to consider.
Arts commissions.
Local arts councils. Mm-hmm. And we've had even some non-traditional host sites, like a church in Denmark, used their meeting room to host it because there really wasn't any other place at Denmark at that time that was available to host it. We had one exhibit installed at Southern Wesleyan University in Central, but they partnered with the Pickens County Museum of Art and History to make sure that they were getting people from the community in and not just their students and faculty.
Sure, and I remember. Now, I'm thinking in my brain it wasn't too long ago, but that doesn't mean anything. It may have been a long time ago, but I remember going up to Lawrence because the Lawrence County Public Library had hosted one of the traveling exhibits. It seems like it was about music.
Yes, Lawrence County Public Library hosted New Harmonies, Celebrating American Roots Music was the name of that exhibit. Libraries make great host sites for these traveling Smithsonian exhibits because they are already kind of the center of their community in many ways. They have lots of people coming through who may not have come to the library specifically to see an exhibit.
Right.
Maybe they're there to do something else, but when they see the exhibit, they spend some time with it and really get to enjoy it. So, we have had several libraries be wonderful partners. The Lawrence County Public Library, the Beaufort County Library, the Landrum branch of the Spartanburg County Public Library, which reminds me that I should say that the preferred host sites for these traveling Smithsonian exhibits are communities of 20,000 or less people.
Oh, okay.
So,
do you have to have a certain size population to be able to justify getting an exhibit of that magnitude?
Yeah, well, because the Museum on Main Street program kind of designs these exhibits specifically to go to small towns, that's the goal audience. In larger cities like maybe Columbia or Greenville or Charleston, a Smithsonian exhibit wouldn't have quite the excitement or allure that it would have in Denmark, South Carolina, for instance, where maybe it's the first time they've ever had a traveling Smithsonian exhibit.
Exactly.
So,
and it's important to get those kinds of things out to people who maybe are not as mobile. It's easier for you to get downtown to Main Street than it is to go to Charlotte or to Atlanta or some other place that would, you know, be a host for something like a Smithsonian exhibit.
Right. For many people, it's their first time ever seeing something from the Smithsonian when they come to visit these exhibits in their own small towns. So it can be really exciting for a small town to say, hey, the Smithsonian is coming.
Definitely.
We're hosting it.
Very important. So in wrapping up, is there anything else that maybe we haven't talked about that you'd like to make sure our listeners hear about related to South Carolina Humanities?
Well, one of our other large programs is our grants program. We give grants for public humanities programs that take place around the state, whether it be exhibits or lecture series or conferences or documentaries. And that's another program that libraries can take advantage of, especially with our new Fast Track Literary Grants. We've been offering those for almost 2 years now, and we've had a lot of libraries apply for those.
Good.
It's a really easy application process. The Anderson County Public Library just finished their third annual Electric City Comic-Con.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And we've helped support that with a Fast Track Literary Grant for the past 2 years. Upcoming in September of 2017, we've helped support the Greenville County Library System with their Southern Authors Festival.
Wow.
And the Charleston County Friends of the Library with their Black Ink African American Book Festival in Charleston. So both of those events are upcoming. We've helped with community read kind of programs, which libraries are often involved in. Just lots of different events going on.
And it is amazing, you know, when you rattle off all of those different things and you realize that, you know, a lot of people maybe outside of South Carolina wouldn't think it, but South Carolina really has a rich literary tradition. You know, like you mentioned earlier, Pat Conroy and the Conroy Center that's newly formed down in Beaufort. And, you know, a lot of famous writers are actually from South Carolina.
They are. We have a lot of great literary connections. And you're right. There are so many different literary events going on around the state. It really amazes me. There's a wide variety of festivals. There's young adult literary festivals going on. Charleston is just now starting a poetry festival.
Hmm.
They're planning, and I think it's going to take place in October. So there's a lot going on in the literary arts in South Carolina.
It is, and you know, South Carolina Humanities is a great resource and really something that we're very fortunate to have in the state. So we certainly appreciate all you do for us.
Well, thank you so much.
And thanks so much for talking to us today.
It was a pleasure.